James Dean. We'll hit the road like a Steve McQueen movie scene. Show me your million-dollar Maryland smile, and I'll show you a love, love, love that's never going out of style. I was thinking a while, the sun is sinking low. We could go all night, never going out of style in my Chevy.
The entertainment you want, the information you need. Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Plum City, Elkmount, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand. Real Country.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me. It was a remarkable and very complicated story. 2 days after a baby girl was born in a hospital in Cape Town, South Africa, a woman dressed in a nurse's uniform took the baby while the infant's mother was sleeping. For years, the little girl's parents tried to find her, and they lived with the uncertainty of not knowing where she was or whether she was dead or alive. Even after they had another daughter, they celebrated the birthday of their missing girl every year. But a fascinating thing happened. 17 years after their first daughter was kidnapped, their second daughter became friends with an older girl at school. People noticed the girls looked remarkably similar. And when the parents learned about the similarity, they met the older girl and arranged for DNA testing to be carried out. The couple and their lost daughter were reunited for the first time in nearly two decades. Of course, unraveling the complications of it all was not easy. The story is told in a book written by the young woman at the center of it all, Zephanie, Two Mothers, One Daughter, An Astonishing True Story. A mystery, indefatigable searching, careful investigation, and ultimately, a mystery solved. The Bible can seem like that, a mystery. I'm not referring to "for God so loved the world" or "love your neighbor as yourself." The fact is, an enormous amount of what is written in the Bible is very understandable. But there are some passages, prophecy, for example. Sometimes that can be a little complicated. And there might be times that you wonder why prophecy even matters. Together, we are going to see that prophecy can be understood. We'll see how relevant it is, and we'll learn how it answers some of the biggest questions of them all, including questions about the end of the world. In the Old Testament, you find a section often referred to as the major prophets, and another referred to as the minor prophets. The major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, who wrote Jeremiah and Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. While the minor prophets are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. The major prophets are considered major because the books are longer. Now, there are other prophets in the Bible who didn't write books. Abraham was a prophet, as well as Agabus and Gad and Miriam and Joshua and Deborah and others, many of whom are not named. Moses was a prophet, but the books he wrote are considered history more than they're considered prophecy. Now, they contain prophecy, but the chief burden of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy is history. Moses also wrote Job, considered to be a book of poetry. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Exodus tells the story of the Exodus, Israel's exit from Egypt. Leviticus deals with the priesthood and the sanctuary services. Numbers starts with the numbering of Israel, then adds to what was written in Leviticus and traces the wanderings of Israel. While Deuteronomy, which means second law, deals a lot with the laws and regulations given to Israel. By the time you get to the major prophets, you see the prophetic content of those books is very high. Let's focus together on Daniel, 12 chapters in all. The first six are largely history, and the final six are largely prophecy. But even the chapters that deal with history really speak to prophecy. In Daniel 3, there's a law passed concerning worship, and those who wouldn't comply with that law were sentenced to death. Now, the book of Revelation speaks to that same idea. Daniel chapter 6, the story of Daniel in the lion's den, also has a last day application. But we're going to start in Daniel 2, fascinating chapter, and then we'll build on that. In fact, to get the context of Daniel 2, we need to look at Daniel chapter 1. Jerusalem is attacked. Daniel and others are captured and taken to Babylon. The captives are to be fed from the king's table. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That's Daniel 1 verse 8. He requested that he and his friends be provided with healthy food and water instead of wine. That was an act of real faith. You don't want to insult the king of Babylon. And if the health of those boys had suffered, the man tasked with taking care of them would have been in real trouble. But God blessed Daniel and his friends for their faithfulness. Verse 17 says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." It's always better to honor God. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And on all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Daniel 1, verses 19 and 20. The young men honored God with their bodies, and God blessed them spiritually. With that background, we go to Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel 2, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a stunning dream. It was so striking, it woke him up. He believed the gods were talking to him, but he couldn't remember what the dream was. He asked his counselors to tell him what he dreamed and what it meant. What unfolded was an interesting exchange. "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. That's Daniel 2, verses 4 through 12. What unfolds is a prophecy that is foundational to end time Bible prophecy. But first, Daniel has to get out of a jam. He's just been sentenced to death. What do you do when you're innocent and the executioner knocks on your door? We're going to find out in just a moment.
Important life events bring great changes in our lives, and the second coming of Jesus is the biggest event of our lives. You can share in this special moment. Our free offer today is The Second Coming of Jesus. To receive this free study guide, call 800-253-3000 or visit us online at iiwoffer.com. Learn what the Bible says about the second coming of Jesus. Call 800-253-3000 or visit iiwoffer.com.
Planning for your financial future is a vital aspect of Christian stewardship. For this reason, It Is Written is pleased to offer free planned giving and estate services. For information on how we can help you, please call 800-992-2219. Call today or visit our website, hislegacy.com. Call 800-992-2219.
Thanks for joining me on It Is Written. There are a lot of mysteries that puzzle us. The lost city of Atlantis. The lost colony following Sir Walter Raleigh's attempt to set up the first English colony in the United States. And that mysterious word Croatone carved into a gatepost. The fate of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. There just aren't good answers. But the Bible is a book designed by God to provide answers. Which means that although there are some parts of the Bible that don't read quite as simply as I have loved you with an everlasting love, God speaks to us through the Bible to provide direction and an understanding of who He is and of His purposes for the world. When we looked at Daniel chapter 2, we saw that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream so startling it woke him from his sleep. When his advisors weren't able to interpret the dream, he sentenced them to death. When the executioner arrived at Daniel's door, Daniel asked for time to interpret the dream. He and his friends prayed, and the Bible says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision." Ushered into the presence of the great king, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that he dreamed of a large statue, an image, an idol. Not surprising, considering Nebuchadnezzar was an idol worshiper. And then Daniel interpreted the dream. "You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay." And then he interpreted the dream for the king. Remember, this was a monumental dream. But rather than this being the gods speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, it was the God of heaven communicating with him and with you and me. Daniel explained to the king that the head of gold in that image represented Nebuchadnezzar, or Babylon, more correctly. "You are this head of gold," the young prophet said. And then he said that the other metals, silver, brass, and iron, represented succeeding kingdoms. It turns out that those kingdoms that followed Babylon were Medo-Persia, often referred to as simply Persia, Greece, and Rome. Back in Isaiah 13, verse 17, the Bible names Medo-Persia